And when I have to choose between two evils, I'm gonna pick the one I've never tried before. I'm gonna give you loving in the new year. I'm gonna love you in the new year. You know, next year, I'm gonna keep a close check on my conscience. I can't have that bothering me. Oh, and I'm gonna have goodwill toward men. And the more men, the more I will. Oh.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve. It's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of a complete line of famous quality food products. Yes, it won't be long now. The counters are stacked. The department stores have issued their final ultimatums. A tradesman in a Santa suit lurks behind every Christmas tree, his pistol cocked, ready with his Christmas message. Stand and deliver your money or your life. Grown-ups begin to wear that hunted look as they feel the holidays closing in upon them. But the children, hey, hey! Cheeks are flushed, hopes are high, talk is merry and a little wild.
You know, we have the craziest uncle. I mean, really, he's a scream, but so nice, isn't he, Leroy?
Yeah, he's okay sometimes.
It's so funny. Every year about this time, he gets us together, and he looks very solemn, and he says to us, "Children, I'd like you to sit down for a minute. I just want to warn you, we're going to have a very small Christmas this year. Santa Claus is very poor. So I don't want you to expect too much."
And Christmas morning? Oh, boy, everything.
Marjorie, I'd like you to sit down for a minute.
Yes, Unky?
Where's your brother? Have you seen him?
Bertie, have you seen Leroy?
He's out and back.
He's out and back.
Ask him to come in for a minute, will you?
Ask him to come in for a minute, will you?
Leroy, your uncle wants you. I don't know. He's got something to see. He's coming.
He's coming.
Yes, yes. Oh, does he have to slam it? Yes, I suppose he does.
Looking for me, Uncle.
Leroy, I'd like to have a little talk with you and your...
No.
Where did you get that cat?
I don't know. I found him out back. He's been hanging around all morning. Isn't he a beauty?
He's a monster. Get rid of him.
Oh, Unc, I was just going to ask you if we couldn't keep him.
I expected that. The answer is no.
But, Unc, he likes me. He's fond of me, Unc, see?
Leroy, if we tried to accommodate all the animals you claim are fond of you, we'd be living in a Noah's Ark.
Oh, but gee whiz.
Now, you had a dog 2 Christmases ago, and you didn't take care of him. That's why he ran away. I told you then, no more animals.
But, Unc, I'm older now.
You're no more dependable. Not one whit.
What's a whit, Unc?
Don't try to change the subject. Get rid of the cat.
I'd take care of him. He wouldn't be any trouble.
It isn't a he, it's a she.
Want a bet?
He, she, or it. I'll get rid of it. I want that cat out of here before he becomes an issue. Every time I let you play with some animal for 5 minutes, we have to have a whole great big thing about it. Now put him outside.
Okay. Poor old fella. Everybody treats him mean. Well, I'm your friend.
Cat's too big anyway. If there's anything I can't stand, it's an overgrown cat. I don't mind kittens. They wouldn't grow up into cats.
You liked Aesop?
Aesop was a very unusual cat. This cat is ordinary. Tell it just by looking at him.
You wouldn't say that if you knew him.
Let's not have any more talk about cats, shall we, children? What I wanted to speak to you about is Christmas.
Here it comes.
Now, Christmas will be here shortly, and I think I ought to warn you.
I know what I want.
That's not the Christmas spirit, my boy. The spirit of Christmas is in giving, not getting.
Oh, I'm going to give you a present, don't worry. Marge, too. I'm going to give the both super presents. If you ever pay me the allowance you owe me.
Do I owe you money?
Do you owe me? $1.25.
Well, remind me about it.
I'm reminding you.
Remind me some other time.
You can't give till you get, you know.
I haven't got it on me right now. Some other time, Leroy.
Okay. But don't blame me if you're disappointed on Christmas.
That's just the point I'm trying to get to, my boy. The best way to avoid being disappointed on Christmas is not to expect too much.
This year, I'm only going to ask for one thing. That's all I'm going to ask for is one thing. Just one thing, that's all. One thing.
Yes. Well, that's good, because this year Santa is really going to have a tough...
Just one thing, that's all. Just one thing.
He's really going to have a tough time. You see, with prices as high as they are...
That's all I want is one thing.
You might as well ask him what it is, Uncle Mort.
Do you want to know?
No, but what is it?
A motor scooter.
You mean one of those...
Yeah, one of those little red things you ride around on. Like a motorcycle, only better. They're a lot safer, Uncle, and kids can ride them. They hardly burn any gas at all.
Leroy, those things cost $150.
They do?
At the very least, maybe $200.
Gosh, that's the only thing I really want. I've been wanting one of those ever since I can remember. I guess I want a motor scooter more than anything else in the world.
Now be reasonable, Leroy. Don't get your heart set on something that's impossible.
Craig's gonna get one.
Who said so?
Craig.
Craig is a great big... Craig is a little boy, Leroy. You can't believe everything he says.
Just the same, he's gonna get one. He said so.
It'd be just like that four-flusher Bullard to give his kid an expensive toy like that.
It wouldn't be so expensive, Unc. Craig and I got it all figured out. When we get our scooters, we can do all kinds of things. We can deliver papers, we can run errands for people and charge them for it. Why, the scooters will pay for themselves in a couple of weeks. No kidding.
Yeah.
Think it over, hey, Unc?
Leroy, I want you to forget this whole idea. Do you understand? Just forget about it completely.
Okay, I'll forget about it.
I mean it.
I've already forgotten about it, Unc. It'll be just as... I'll be just...
Listen, you don't seem to get the idea. See, how can I... I'll have you children know that I'm not made of money. Do you understand?
Sure, sure.
Marjorie?
I don't care what I get, Unky. Anything you decide, I'll be grateful for.
That's the spirit, my dear. Leroy, why can't you be more...
Me too, Unc. Anything at all will be okay with me. Anything at all.
Well, it won't be a motor scooter. You can bank on that. Just get that out of your head right at the start. A motor scooter is out of the question. Understand?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
They're not only expensive, they're dangerous. And besides, they're expensive. Everything's expensive. Now, we're contributing to the orphanage out there, little Christina. That'll have to be our main Christmas. We've got to cut down. Motor scooters are out. You understand?
Yeah, sure. They're too expensive. Who wants a motor scooter?
I mean it, confound it. Don't wake up Christmas morning expecting to see one under the tree because there won't be one. Do you get it?
Okay. Is it all right if I go out and play now?
Confound it. When I say I mean it, I mean it. All right, go ahead.
Thanks, Unc. Thanks a lot. Oh, boy, I got to tell Craig.
You know, I don't think he believes me. What are you grinning at, Marjorie?
Unky, you're so transparent.
Transparent? What do you mean?
You overdo it. Now, 2 years ago, Leroy wanted a dog. You told him 50 times, if you told him once, that a dog was out of the question. So on Christmas, what did he get? A dog.
Well, sure, but
And last year, it was a set of drums. For weeks, you kept telling him they were too expensive. And all the time, you had them hidden in a closet. No wonder he's on to you. Got to keep quiet about the scooter.
Listen, I mean it. Do you think I've got $150 to throw around?
Unky, you're a darling.
Let go.
But you couldn't fool a fly. There's a Christmas kiss. I'm going straight upstairs now and wrap the present.
She doesn't believe me either. How am I going to kill this thing? Bertie!
Yes?
Bertie, I positively will not buy Leroy a motor scooter. I want to go on record before at least one member of this family is never ever having the slightest intention of doing so. You're my witness.
Oh, shut you. Trust me, Mr. Gilsleeve. I ain't going to tell him.
Oh. You know yourself, Peavy, getting such expensive presents as that isn't good for a boy. It could ruin his character.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. Why are you suddenly so concerned about Craig Bullard's character?
Because, confound it, if Craig gets a motor scooter, then I've got to give Leroy one, that's all. I can't have Leroy disappointed on Christmas while Craig goes chugging up and down the street, the little show-off. That's my problem, Peavy. It's how to disappoint Leroy without disappointing him.
How do you know Craig is going to get a scooter?
I don't. That's what I'd like to have you ask Mr. Bullard, if you will.
Why don't you ask him?
Because I threatened to punch him in the nose last week.
Him too?
I told him to stay off the property. He told me to stay off his.
You seem to be narrowing the circle of your acquaintance these days, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, never mind. Will you do as I ask?
I don't know.
It's a small enough favor, for heaven's sake.
But it's none of my business. I just can't say to Mr. Bullard, what's this I hear about you giving Craig a high-priced scooter for Christmas?
No, no, you don't have to do it that way, Peavy. Just be tactful. Be casual. Sneak up on it.
How?
Well, for instance, you could look out of your window and say, well, there goes a boy on a motor scooter. By the way, Mr. Bullard, what are you giving Craig for Christmas?
Don't think it'd work.
Why not?
Well, suppose no boy went by on a scooter.
Ye gods, Peavy, you could pretend you saw one, couldn't you?
That would be an untruth.
I know, you just don't want to ask him.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll tell you. A man who will run a drugstore will do almost anything, but you have to draw the line somewhere. And when it comes to snooping, even a pharmacist...
All right, forget it. I'm sorry I asked.
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes?
In case I shouldn't see you in the meantime, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. That's all, Eve. I just wanted to return your Plato. Darn interesting book. Thanks for lending it to me.
You're quite sure you finished it?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm finished with it.
I'll be glad to have you keep it a little longer if you...
Oh, no, no, thanks. I think I've gotten all I can out of it. Oh, say, there was one other thing.
Do come inside. It's so cold out here.
Well, just for a minute. It's about these motor scooters the kids are riding these days. Very dangerous contraptions.
Motor scooters?
Yes. I've been thinking it might be a good idea, Eve, if you pass a rule against any motor scooters at school.
Well, none of the children have motor scooters, Throckmorton. Not that I've seen.
I know, but some child might get one. You know, Christmas coming on. Some of these four-flushers that don't know anything about bringing up children might...
Well, I couldn't very well pass a rule against something that hasn't even come up. Now, could I?
Well, you're the principal, Eve. If you just sent a note home with the kids, no motor scooters, you know, before Christmas, before it's too late, might be doing somebody a favor.
Leroy wants a motor scooter. Is that it?
How'd you know?
You're so easy to see through, Throckmorton.
Women are always claiming they can see through me. Why is that? My own niece, I get the very same thing from her.
Marjorie is a smart girl.
Am I so dumb?
Well, I don't think you always understand children very well.
I'd like to know who understands them any better. Listen, I'm on to them every minute.
Well, maybe so. But if you want to get Leroy's mind off motor scooters, I don't think the way to do it is to tell him he can't have one.
No? How then?
Convince him there's something else he wants more. Get him so interested he'll forget about scooters.
By George, there's one thing I'll say for you, Eve. You've got sense.
Well, thank you for the compliment, as far as it goes.
Well, that isn't all you got, either.
I'm afraid that was an afterthought.
I'll show you whether it was an afterthought or not.
Another time, Throckmorton.
Always putting me off.
You've returned the book, and you've told me what you really came for. Now, was there something else?
You make it awfully tough for a fella. Well, goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye, Throckmorton.
Oh, say.
Yes?
In case I shouldn't see you in the meantime, I am...
Are you looking for something?
Too early for mistletoe, I guess. Well, I just have to come back, that's all. Goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, let's see. You said about Leroy, get him interested in something else. Is that it?
That's it.
Guess I got that straight. Well, goodbye, Eve.
Goodbye.
I'd better get out of here. You'll be seeing through me again. Goodbye. Goodbye, Eve.
The making of a really fine mayonnaise, as every expert homemaker knows, calls for a great deal of skill. Only choice ingredients may be used, and they must be blended with the utmost care for perfect velvet-smooth texture. Now, it isn't easy, but Kraft has mastered the art. Try famous Kraft Kitchen Fresh Mayonnaise and see for yourself. Yes, although Miracle Whip salad dressing continues to be scarce because of the sugar shortage, Kraft Mayonnaise is once again available and in reasonable quantity. Fine salad oil is more plentiful, and your food dealer should have a fair supply of Kraft mayonnaise soon, if not already. With its delicate homemade flavor, its creamy, satin-smooth texture, mayonnaise by Kraft is glamour for any salad. Only fine salad oil, selected eggs, fragrant vinegar and spices go into it. And as a final crowning touch, genuine fresh lemon juice is added. Then a special beater patented by Kraft is the secret of its marvelous texture. Yes, it's good news. Kraft Kitchen Fresh Mayonnaise is once again available. Well, let's see now how Gildersleeve is coming in his negotiations with Leroy. Strolling out into the backyard, he finds Leroy hard at work in the garage.
boy. What's going on here?
Cleaning up.
This isn't like you, Leroy.
Well, I'm just trying to clear a space here.
Oh? Space for what?
Well, in case I get anything for Christmas that I need a space for.
Say, Leroy.
Yeah?
I've been thinking about what we were talking about the other day, about Christmas.
You mean about a scooter?
Well, no, about Christmas. There's one thing you've never asked for, Leroy, and I'm surprised you haven't. Because, gosh, I should think it would be an awful lot of fun. That's a train.
A train? You mean an electric train?
Sure, they're more fun than a barrel of monkeys. They have wonderful trains now.
Oh, gee, I never thought you...
Well, they have bridges and tunnels and automatic switches and whistles and everything. Regular little trains. Think what fun you and I could have if we built a railroad together. A miniature railroad.
Would you help me?
Help you? I'd be up there playing with it every evening. And Saturdays and Sundays as well.
Say, that'd be super. We could make a bridge.
Sure.
We could have wrecks.
Well, sure, we could do anything. I don't know a finer toy for a boy than a train. A bushel of fun at the same time educational and instructive. Just think, on rainy afternoons, Craig would be sitting over there looking out the window, unable to ride his scooter, and you'd be up in your room with your train, having the time of your life.
Oh, boy, would Craig be sore. He'd be wanting to play with my train all the time.
Yeah.
Fat chance.
Yeah, sure. If he wasn't smart enough to ask for a train for Christmas, that's his tough luck.
Hey, I just remembered. I've got a train catalog. It's Pig's, but he lent it to me. It's up in my room. Shall I go get it?
Let's go up there and look at it together, shall we, Leroy? Pick out the stuff we'll need.
Okay.
Yeah, come along.
Hey, you know what they have now? They have automatic couplers and locomotives that puff smoke even. Will Craig be sore?
Yeah.
I'm going to clean everything else out of my room and just have trains. I better keep the room locked when I'm not in there in case of the kids. You can play with it anytime you want, though, Unc. And signals, they have automatic signals.
Pretty excited, aren't you, my boy? Tell you what we'll do. We'll not only get a train, we'll each get an engineer's cap.
And will
it? Sure. Whenever we play with the trains, I'll be the engineer and you can be the fireman.
Oh, no, I'm the engineer. You can be the conductor.
It's all right, Chief, whatever you say. You're the boss. Board! Toot, 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 toot. Where's the catalog, Leroy?
Just a sec, Doc. I'll find it here somewhere. Maybe it's under this stuff.
Oh? You sure you had it?
Yeah, it's here all right. I put it where I'd be sure and find it. Maybe in here.
Oh? This room of yours could stand a little straightening up, Leroy.
Yeah, I was just gonna... here it is. Here it is, Hunk.
Well, let's sit down here among the debris and look at it together. Oh, what have you got in your bed there?
Huh?
I sat on something.
Let me see. Oh, it's my toy tank.
Well, that's not a very good way to take care of it, Leroy.
I don't need it anymore. What the heck? The war's over.
I certainly hope you'll take better care of your train than that.
Oh, sure. I'll take good care of it.
Well, good. Let's see here now.
Let me show you.
Yeah?
Here's the locomotive I like. The big one, Unc, you see?
Oh, yeah.
Hudson-type locomotive, real headlight, automatic reverse, firebox glows red, accurate in every detail.
37.50.
And then here's the tender that goes with it. That's the coal car.
Yeah.
You see, it has a whistle gadget built right into it.
11.25. Let me look at that book, Leroy.
Sure.
Yeah. Scale model passenger cars, each 8.75. Remote control switch, 6.50. Automatic crossing gate, 4.50. Complete Hudson Flyer train outfit. Includes locomotive, tender, 3 passenger cars, 16 sections of track, 2 switches, 100 and... here.
Where are you going?
No place. You know, Leroy, when you come right down to it, the toys you have the most fun with are the toys you make yourself.
What do you mean?
How would you like a set of tools, my boy, of your very own?
Train?
Well, I'll tell you now about trains. The trouble with trains, you play with them a few times and then you get tired of them. Now, if I got your train, why, next year you'd have completely outgrown it, my boy. Be just kicking around here getting busted like all this other stuff. Just make you feel bad. Now, I think it'd be much more sensible if... Leroy, are you listening to what I have to say?
What do I want with tools? I can use yours.
But if you had tools of your own, my boy, your very own, you're too big a boy for trains and kid stuff like that.
I'm not so big.
But just think, Leroy, tools. You could make things. Tyrax, tabourets.
Some fun.
All right. If you're going to be like that about it, if you won't cooperate, we'll just forget about Christmas, that's all. We'll just forget all about it. There'll be no Christmas, that's all. Christmas is for people who cooperate. We'll just give Marjorie all the presents, that's all. Well, why doesn't somebody say something?
Would you like some more of something, Mr. Gilsey?
No thanks, Bertie. Where's Leroy?
Up in his room.
Did you tell him I said to come down?
Yes.
All right, he can just go without his supper then.
He said he didn't want any. He's in bed.
In bed?
Mr. Gilsey, I know it's none of my business, but when a boy don't want to eat, I don't...
Now, Bertie, I'll handle this.
Yes, sir.
Leroy is in bed, you say?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad. Confound it. Why does Christmas have to come up anyway? Just makes for a lot of trouble. A lot of hard feeling. Hope Leroy didn't take me literally when I said there wouldn't be any Christmas. Poor little fellow. After all, he is just a kid. He's probably up there crying his eyes out. Maybe I ought to run up and speak to him, huh? What do you think, Bertie?
Why don't you do that, Mr. Gilsey?
Will you excuse me, Marjorie?
Certainly. But I don't know that Leroy will.
Go up and see.
I'll put this back in the oven and keep it warm for you, Mr. Gilsey.
Don't bother, Bertie. I don't deserve it. Poor little tyke. I'm too hard on the boy, that's all. I don't mean to be. It's Christmas, that's what it is. Leroy. It's your old Uncle Leroy. Mind if I come in?
Oh. Hi, Unc. Hi.
Well, you don't look particularly heartbroken, I must say.
Oh, I'm okay. I just thought I might as well go to bed. After all, I have to go to bed sometime, hey, Unc?
What's that you've got in bed with you?
Huh?
Come on. Now, what is it?
Oh, nothing, Uncle. Honest. No kidding. I haven't...
Come on. You want me to pull off the covers?
No, really. I'll show you both my hands. Look.
Leroy.
I don't know how he got in here, Unc. I tried to get rid of him like you told me, honest. But he climbed up on the roof and begged me to let him in.
Leroy?
Oh, please. He hasn't got a home.
Would you like to keep him, my boy?
Keep him? You mean it?
We'll see. Do you think you'd rather have the cat than a train, Leroy?
Oh, boy, would I?
You'd rather have him than a set of tools?
Are you kidding?
Okay, Leroy, you may keep him.
Oh, thanks, Unc. You're super. Hey, this cat's crazy about me, Unc. No kidding. I'm going to teach him tricks and everything. That's a very valuable cat, you know it.
Well, I'm glad you're pleased with him, Leroy. And by the way, I want to apologize for shouting at you the way I did.
Oh, that's okay.
I guess your old uncle gets off his trolley once in a while.
Who doesn't? I make mistakes myself.
Oh. Now, why don't you slip on your bathrobe and come down to supper?
Can I bring the cat?
All right, bring the cat. Liberty Hall, Christmas comes but once a year. If it came any oftener, we'd never live through it.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back again very shortly. Well, these are busy days, all right. Christmas shopping, planning meals, to say nothing of holiday entertaining. So it's good news, I know, that famous Kraft Kitchen Fresh Mayonnaise is back. You'll never again bother to make your own once you try it. Kraft Mayonnaise, you remember, is the superior mayonnaise, sure to bring compliments wherever it's served. It has a truly distinctive flavor that comes from the choice ingredients that go into it. Fine salad oil, selected eggs, fragrant vinegar and spices, and as a final touch of perfection, fresh lemon juice. Choose it always for delicate, just right flavor, and for marvelous texture. A special beater patented by Kraft gives Kraft Kitchen Fresh Mayonnaise a creamy satin smoothness you could never accomplish in your own kitchen. You'll be proud to serve Kraft Mayonnaise. It's once again available in reasonable quantity.
Wasn't interested in tools.
Yeah, well, I'm using yours. If you don't mind.
Well, not if you put them away. What are you doing there?
Making something.
Oh, making something. May I ask what it is, or is that telling?
It's something for the cat.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. The cat. What is it? A house?
No, it's not a house. It's a box, sort of.
Cat box, eh?
No, well, no, it's not a box, really. It's to ride the cat on the back of my motor scooter. I know I'm not going to get one, Unc, I know. But it never does any harm to be on the safe side. You know.
Nuts. Right back where we started. Only now we've got a cat. Good night, folks.
Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It is written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. The music is by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley as Leroy, Louise Erickson as Marjorie, and Lillian Randolph as Bertie. Richard LeGrand as Mr. Peavy. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Plenty of rich, velvety, smooth ice cream. Any flavor you like, always on hand. Sounds swell? It is, and so easy to enjoy when you buy the new Kraft product called Frizz, F-R-I-Z-Z. Yes, Frizz makes delicious homemade ice cream right in your refrigerator. Real ice cream with plenty of milk and cream in it. Just add water, a little sugar, and freeze according to directions on the package. Made by an exclusive process that retains that fresh cream flavor, it freezes smoothly, gives you 6 generous servings from 1 package of Frizz.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
Hooray! Hooray!
Thank you very much. And a happy new year. This year, according to our research department, will be 1947. Last year, in case you missed it, will be 1946. Now, we've been going over our books for the year, balancing debits and credits, and I have here a brief report on the year's doings of the House of Morgan. The first item is jokes. We find that in this program in 1946, we used 918 jokes, not counting several hundred we thought were jokes. Of these 918, 818 got laughs. The other 100 jokes we carry over to this year, and we'll give you another chance at them. Well, let's see, 818 laughs, but in radio, there are many different kinds of laughs, so we have to break that figure down. We got 124 yucks, 68 buffs. If this is new to you, a yuck is when everyone laughs loud enough so we can count all the gold inlays in the audience. That's the trade name. A buff, or belly laugh, is when we can count all the belt buckles. Now, a buff yuck, or gold belt buckle, that's when the sponsor laughs. According to the report, no buff yucks. But we did get 214 freeps. A freep is when everybody laughs because the person next to him is laughing. Unless, of course, it's an empty seat. Well, we got 88 orcs. An orc is when the orchestra laughs. Now, when the orcs laugh, it's because a guy in the orchestra is laughing because the trombone player whispered something funny. But we count them. They add up. We also got 88 Bernies. A Bernie is when Bernie Green laughs. He laughs because somebody told him what the trombone player said. And we got 100 yucks, which is when nobody laughs at the joke, but the comedian gets it by wiggling his ears. That makes 672 laughs. 672 from 818 leaves 146. We got 146 laughs in rehearsal. Well, you'll just have to take my word for it, that's all. So much for laughs. Now, let's see. Here's our report on the mail. Every morning about 11, the mail clerk staggers in with my fan mail. Don't know why that boy should stagger with three letters, but it's not my business to report him. Incidentally, I'd like to thank Fred Allen for his encouraging letter. I wish he'd put the next one in writing. Those tea leaves are so hard to read. We had a letter from Bing Crosby which said, boo. And, altogether, are you people just smirking? Altogether, during the past year, our mail totaled 118 pounds. Tonight, I've selected a few ounces. The first letter reads,
Dear Mr. Morgan, gosh, we must have an ever-sharp chick radio, because whenever you come on the air, my father changes stations automatically.
And here's a rather interesting letter from an ardent fan.
Dear Mr. Morgan, I find your program very hard to turn off and will continue to do so.
So much for the report in the fan mail. According to the report on scripts, we have lots of material left over from last year, and we have to use it up tonight if we want to start the new year even. Let's see now. We had four sound effects left over from last year. First, a cash register. Next, a ship dropping anchor. Then, a rustling of paper. And a shattering of glass. Now, in addition to these sound effects, we had four sentences left over from last year. They had to be cut out of different programs at the last moment. These are the four sentences. One.
Yes, delicious, ain't it?
Two.
Here's your change, sir. They don't call me Honest Ambrose for nothing.
Three.
What a pity. We'll never find it in this here fog.
Four.
Honey, you ain't been getting enough calcium lately.
Just leftovers. Now, we also had a bit of music that was left. Bernie? Guess that's all that was left. Well, I'd like to get all these leftovers out of the way, if you don't mind. So I've prepared a little sketch to use up all this extra material. Then we can start the new year. Bernie, we'll start if you'd use some of the leftover music, please. Our story begins on the deck of a small tramp steamer bound for New York with a cargo of tramps. This is really a ruse. In reality, this is a gambling ship, and two stealthy figures are busy marking the deck. One says,
Nasty weather for the Admiral's dinner tonight, Walt.
Regular pea soup fog.
Yes, delicious, ain't it? I mean, one gets tired of nothing but chicken noodles.
Say, would you lend me $5?
Well, here's a $10 bill, but I can only lend you $3.
Very well, then you can owe me $2. Which leaves you $5, and here's your change, sir. They don't call me Honest Ambrose for nothing. Say, I believe we've dropped anchor.
What a pity, they'll never find it in this here park.
Thanks. Our next scene, naturally, is in old Arizona. Ambrose walks into the Last Chance Saloon, where his keen ears detect a strange, treacherous sound.
Hey, what's that noise?
It's me. I was just rustling this here paper.
Stranger, we don't stamp for no rustlers in this here town. I don't even let Jane rustle. One of us has to leave pronto.
All right. I'll go.
No, I'll go. Who left last time? I ain't been out of town all year.
2 hours later, Ambrose pulled up his weary steed before a small house. His steaming horse was covered with lather, and leaving instructions for the beast to be shaved, he went inside to visit his sweetheart.
Oh, there you are, Mary Bell, honey. You're so delicate, so fragile, like a china doll. Here, let me hold you real close to me, darling. Honey, you ain't been getting enough calcium lately.
Don't worry about it, because now we're even for last year. We can start fresh. Oh, here's the report from the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor Company. On 12 programs, the name Eversharp last year was mentioned 438 times. The full title, Eversharp Schick Injector Razor, was mentioned 105 times. I had meetings with a sponsor twice. I lost twice. I said the razor changes blades automatically 12 times. Charlie said it once. Ted Husing said it 150 times. We all said the Eversharp Schick Injector Razor sells for $1.25, complete with 20 blades. As a result of this high-pressure salesmanship, we sold 3 razors. A man in Oregon bought 2 in the belief that it was a pen and pencil set. My father bought the other one, thinking that what I said was blazers. End of report. Since this is the first day of the new year, we think it's only fitting to take a look at what the other 364 are going to be like. So we're going to describe the rest of 47. And if you feel like it, you can go to sleep right after the show and stay in bed all year. First, the weather for 47. In California, this winter, the weather will be mild and sunny with occasional showers. Daily. The winter in Chicago will be very cold. The winter in Florida will be very expensive. Now for a quick survey of the changes in 47. At the beginning of 46, the housing shortage was called severe. At that time, 4 million people were crowded into garages. By the end of the year, the situation had improved. 2 million of these people had been able to find cellars. And in 47, we predict that railroads will move forward. Next year, the American public will find an unexpected luxury on railroad trains.
Hey, Sadie, look at me.
What is it?
I'm sitting.
We come now to soap, which expects a banner year in 47. We've invited Mr. Homer Klunk, manufacturer of one of our better-known soaps, Broken Heart Soap, the soap with a message, to discuss the future of his business. Mr. Klunk, we're delighted to have you with us this evening.
Of course you are.
I get it. Do you have any plans for any new kinds of soap?
Of course I do. Today our designers are working on a new soap bar. Rather expensive. It'll cost you $2 a bar, but it's well worth it.
Well, why will it cost so much?
This soap bar will have nuts, on the inside?
Nuts on the inside.
Of course it will. In case you get hungry during your bath. Any other questions?
Of course I do. I mean, I have. Yes, I do.
Then there's the new soap I forgot to mention. Now, you know the soap that floats?
Yes.
Well, we have a new soap that chases you around the tub.
Thank you very much, Mr. Homer Clark. I got a feeling that's going to be left over next year, that whole thing. In 47, unions will go in for more collective bargaining. They'll go in for more. They may come out with less. But in many instances, there'll be a better understanding between employer and employee, as in this one.
Come in, come in.
I wanted to talk to you about a raise.
Well, sit down, sit down.
Well, you see, prices are way up and my expenses are high, and I thought...
I understand your position perfectly, my boy.
Yeah, oh, you mean you give me a raise?
Certainly. $25 a week raise.
$25 a week raise? Oh, boy! Thanks, Father.
The most important thing about any year is what the people will be thinking and doing. Let's look in on two average people on the first day of 1947.
Hello. Hello, Hortense. This is Gerard.
Hello, Gerard. This is Hortense. I want to express my deepest gratitude and appreciation for the hot time you showed me New Year's Eve.
Likewise.
See, didn't we have a good time to Evelyn's house? Is that where we were? Sure, don't you recollect? First, we were at Evelyn's house. Then I took you to my friend Katie's house. Then I took you to my friend Gloria's house. Then I took you to my friend Ruthie's house.
Gee, Hortense, and you didn't even drop me once. Anyway, Hortense, I'm glad it's a new year. My boss says that this year we're going to have great achievements and accomplishments in a field of pickles.
I'm glad for you, boss.
We're putting out a completely different pickle this year.
Is that so? What's it going to be?
We're calling it the New Deal.
Most likely to be killed off. Tonight, Bernie Green and his orchestra play the leading songs all America got most tired of in 46. Here is number 1084, which last week was only 1087, entitled, What is the Fruit, Dear, Which After It's Sold, You Ain't Supposed to Keep It in the Cold. Number 1084. Parade is presented by the makers of Elephant Cigarettes. Remember our slogan, I'd walk a mile for an elephant, but would he do the same for me? Remember, with men who bribe football teams, it's the New York Giants 24-14. And here is a song in 89th place, but destined to go nowhere, a song which hit the all-time medium, the song that taught people that a nickel is easily worth 5 cents. And here it is, number 3 on your obit parade, the song's most likely to drop dead. Number three, entitled, Even Though Your Teeth Ain't Pearly, I'd Like You to Be My Girlie. And finally, somebody wrote that in on me. Finally, number one. Yes, here's the number one candidate for whatever it is, the title, I Don't Love You, My Dear Mamie. I don't love you, and you can't blame me, because... And to the strains of our theme, You're Driving Me Crazy, we say farewell. This program is sponsored by the makers of Elephant Cigarettes. Remember our slogan, I'd walk a mile for an elephant, but I'd rather he'd run his own errands. Here it is, the announcement you've been afraid of, the Shave-a-thon. Oh, well, the Shave-a-thon isn't so bad. At least after it's over, we have no listeners left, so we can say anything we want. To continue our predictions about the coming year, we examine the field of medicine. Medicine has made tremendous advances during the past few years, especially in fees. In 1947, a lot of important things are going to happen in the medical profession. For instance, more and more doctors are becoming specialists. And this trend is going to continue. First, we meet Dr. Bradley. Doctor, you're an ear, nose, and throat man, aren't you?
That was last year.
And this year?
I treat only the right nostril.
I see. Why not the left nostril?
The left? Sir, I am a Republican.
It figures. This year, there'll be an increasing number of consultations between doctors. There's a very good reason for consultations, and these doctors will show you. We take you behind the scenes of a medical consultation.
Dr. Lawrence, I wanted to consult with you about a patient.
What's the complaint, Dr. Sinaway?
He has an ingrown toenail.
So why the consultation?
He also has $1 million.
Ah, yes, you were wise to call me in, Doctor. How's it look?
Quite a toenail.
Bet it hurts him.
It's murder.
I'll bet. Those things hurt, you know.
I read that someplace. You, ever have one?
Yeah.
I'll bet it hurts.
And how?
But what can you do?
That's what I say. What can you do?
How about using hot water, Doctor?
I don't know.
Why not?
That stuff can get awful hot.
Well, thanks a lot, Doctor.
Glad to help.
I'll send your fee to your office.
No, send it to my home.
Oh, expect to be home long?
Oh, a couple of weeks till my ingrown toenail gets better.
Funny, I was very fond of that in rehearsal. Listen to this startling testimonial to doctors.
I wouldn't be caught dead without my family doctor by my side.
Another thing that's going to happen this year, doctors are very likely going to start to advertise on the radio. Some of the more popular programs will be the news commentary by H.V. Corpuscle, Portia Faces Anesthesia, Life Can Be Bellevue, Ladies Be Inoculated, And I imagine a lot of new medical theories are going to be tried out. Now, last year, doctors discovered that patients improved more rapidly if they got out of bed very soon after an operation. This year, the theory will be carried even further.
Scalpel. Sutures. Forceps. All right, you can get up now.
Doctor, did you finish my operation already?
Start walking. I'll finish it on the way to your room. There. Your appendix is out. How do you feel?
Tennis, anybody?
Another advance in medicine has been the theory that many physical illnesses result from a state of mind. We take you now for a visit to the office of the famous Viennese specialist on this subject, Dr. Heinrich Morgan.
Dr. Morgan, we'd like very much to visit your office and see how you work. Is that all right?
I acquiesce.
Oh, I see you have two powerful microscopes on your desk.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't see a thing without them.
Now, Doctor, we're particularly interested in your method of treating patients who suffer from mental aberrations.
Oh, yeah, but...
I mean, people who imagine themselves to be sick.
Oh, sure, why you didn't say so. I show you.
Filth, patients.
Doctor, I'm in a terrible condition. This I could see.
But the trouble?
I have an awful pain in my right leg.
The pain is all part of your imagination. When did it start?
Well, I was walking down a street, and I imagined I was hit by a brick.
I see.
Tell me, when you were first realizing that you hate your grandmother? I don't hate my grandmother, Doctor. But what about my leg?
See, he's fighting me. I tell you something. You just forget your grandmother and the pain would go away.
It will?
Sure.
Gee, you know, my leg feels better already.
That's fine.
Sure. My leg feels great. Only, now I hate my grandmother.
We'll be on this same corner in front of the cigar store again next week at this same time. Eversharp, manufacturers of Eversharp Schick injector razors and blades, invite you to tune in same time, same station next week when Eversharp will again bring you the Henry Morgan Show.
Oh, I see John Russell has stepped into the studio here. He's got some recordings in his hand and something else in there. Hi, John.
Hello, Chuck, and Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Thank you. It's the day after New Year's Eve. But nevertheless, we have a dance party planned for our listeners today.
And some noisemakers, too.
We will feature the Ron Smullen Orchestra and lots of good dance music by other bands, too.
That's great.
It's Midwest Ballroom today at 5 o'clock.
We'll be listening.
Thanks, Chuck. Okay.
Put that down. Put that down. Thank you very much, John.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back and get a good grip on your nerves, if you can. Where are we going? Well, let us say for the moment, we're taking a little trip into time, and a story I call New Year's Nightmare.